few minutes more when suddenly he freezes again as he hears a voice behind him saying, "It's illegal to break into a safe." Slowly he turns around, and what does he see standing right in the middle of the back of the Doberman? This big parrot. Saying over and over again, "It's illegal to break into a safe." Well, he gets his wits about him, realizes the dog's just going to pant. The parrot just repeat these words. Goes back to working on the combination to the safe, but he can't concentrate because of all the racket going on behind. He finally turns around and sheer frustration said, "Will you two cut it out? How do you expect me to concentrate on finding the combination to this safe when, dog, you just stand there and, and parrot, you're in the middle of his back just saying over and over and over again, it's illegal to break into a safe. Parrot, don't you know any other words?" And at that, the parrot smiles and says, "Yes, sick 'em!" I gather sicka means the same thing in other parts of the country. It means Texas. Well, motivation, getting people to do things, that is a very important part of all our lives, whether it's at home, getting somebody to take the garbage out, or at business, getting somebody to do some kind of task, or at church, getting somebody to go out and save all the souls in the neighborhood, whatever. Motivation is very important in our lives and in our relationships with other people. And how best do we do that? Again, I think that smiles, laughter, and good humor play a very, very important part in motivating our fellow human beings. And we do that with warm words of encouragement. For example, these words of one of America's leading poets, Muhammad Ali, who spoke these words to a group of inner city students. "Stay in college, get the knowledge, stay there till you're through. If they can make penicillin out of moldy bread, they can sure make something out of you." So we all need words of encouragement. You probably remember the old Aesop's fable about the wind and the sun sitting up in the heavens one day, and they see this traveler trudging along the road wearing a heavy cloak, and they're kind of bored, and they say, "Let's get in a little contest to see who can get him to take his cloak off first." So the wind goes first, and the wind huffs and puffs and blows in a gale of fury, but the more the wind blows, the closer the traveler pulls his cloak around him. Then it's the sun's turn, and he just starts shining, and as he does, the man loosens up his cloak. Then the sun turns on his full noonday splendor. The man pulls his cloak off, throws it off to the side. I don't know about you, but in my dealings with my fellow human beings, I have found that it is nearly always true that the wind of criticism and judgment and condemnation only causes people to clasp their protective cloak the closer to them, preventing any kind of deep, intimate relationship to occur. On the other hand, with the warmth of understanding and caring communicated with smiling lips and twinkling eyes and warm words, that cloak can be loosened up and thrown off so that deep, meaningful, intimate relationships can occur. I'm sure all of us have had those kind of relationships. I know I've had a lot of them. Let me just tell you about one. It was back when I was a student at Texas Lutheran College down in, how do we pronounce that? I've heard it pronounced so many ways up here. Seguin, Texas. And the president was the sainted Dr. William F. Crowshar, whom we all referred to as Prexy. And I was living in an old surplus army barracks called North Hall, and I came in one day hot and thirsty and went straight to the Coke machine and went to put my nickel in, which will tell you how long ago this story occurred. And the delivery man had just been there and hadn't shut the door properly, so when I went to put my nickel in, the door just tantalizingly swung open. Well, not being then of the strong moral fiber that I am today, I couldn't resist the temptation of these free Cokes, promptly took and loaded up a case full of them and took them, hidden them in my closet in my room. Well, it wasn't very long at all before the entire dorm heard about it. The machine was cleaned out. Quickly, the Coke company heard about it, passed the word on to Dr. Crowshar. Next day, he called a meeting of all the dorm residents, and in his nice Christian manner, communicated to us very clearly his great disappointment in us as young Christian gentlemen. But Dr. Crowshar was also a Prussian, And he also got across very, very clearly the consequences if it was discovered who it was that had, quote, broken into the machine. Well, folks, I may be a sinner, but I've never been accused of being a dumb sinner. So realizing the handwriting on the wall and realizing that probably confession was the better part of value, I went up to Dr. Croshar and reluctantly, very reluctantly, told him that the machine had not been broken into, and I knew because I was the first one there right after the delivery man had been there and filled it up. The door just had not been shut properly. And then, reluctantly, again, very reluctantly, I said that I had taken a case of those Cokes and they were still in the closet in my room. And then it was that Dr. Croshar put his hand on my shoulder, looked me squarely in the eyes, and spoke these totally unexpected words, "Burke, I want to commend you. I want to commend you for putting those Cokes away so the other boys couldn't steal them." Well, that was the day I learned something about the grace of God and the graciousness of his servant, Dr. William F. Croshar, and it was also the day that I was first exposed to this whole concept of amusing grace. It was the day the sun shone on me. It was the day I was dealt with humanly, warmly, and with good humor. It was a day I'll never forget because it was the day I learned the value of humor in human relations. So the holy healing power of humor, God's amusing grace, it's vitally important for the health of our bodies, our souls, and our relationships. So smile, just for the health of it. And with that, I will say amen. This, with all our transfer and a few other moments of inspiration, has gone a little further than I expected or longer. We have a few minutes, though, to kind of open up to whatever kinds of reactions or responses that you would like to make. Well, thank you. I'm not sure what you can hear. He said in his church they have a clown troupe. Do I think that's a good idea? I am a humorist, and if anybody knows a lot about humor, there are humorists, there are comedians, there are clowns, la-di-da. So I'm not really at a point to evaluate that, except to say that I think objectively there are a lot of clown ministries that are really doing ministry. Some of them in places where people are uncomfortable with that are not. I don't know your congregation, but that would be my objective, non-committal response. Do any of you here have clown ministries or have had experience with clown ministries? Several of you. They're very popular around. We've used them at the youth gatherings the last several times. Herb Schaefer. Herb Schaefer, is that right?
Yes. Yeah.
I keep getting Herb brokering. And Herb's not a clown. Other comments? That brings up, excuse me, I'm supposed to plug for the bookstore my book. And this book, which is not in the bookstore, but the author, Cal Samra's book, The Joy of Christ, is over there. This is a new thing called Holy Hilarity Play Shop Guidebook for the Fellowship of Merry Christians. How many of you are familiar with the Fellowship of Merry Christians? Well, there is an organization based in Portage, or depending on which, Ypsilanti, Michigan, called the Fellowship of Merry Christians, and they put out the Joyful Noise Letter, and I don't have enough for everybody, but if you'd like to come by and get this information, you're welcome to. It's a little monthly newsletter with full of cartoons and other jokes and things on religious humor that if you subscribe to this, you or your congregation, for the present subscription rate of $18 a year, you're entitled to use all that in there. And I know a lot of church newsletters are looking for church cartoons, religious cartoons. So, and this is an interdenominational group. Cal Samra's Orthodox. There are a mess of Lutherans in there. I happen to be one of them. And we just put out and organized this play shop guidebook, and we were offering, I say we, there's a list in the back of workshop, play shop leaders who are available and to go anywhere in the country. And for example, I will be doing one in Texas in October for the Houston Area Missouri Synod Church Workers Conference, a full day play shop. What do you do at a play shop? You play. We do some of the things that we've already talked about here. Just look at some of the history, and then it's a lot of fun and games. Hopefully, on the day that on my session, let us play, we'll do some playing. And there's some worship with play. It's a whole day of emphasizing the lighter side of our faith. And that's the whole purpose of this. Not to put down the serious side at all, but to use laughter and humor in some of the ways that I have mentioned. You had a question, sir.
Humor has to be patient too.
Humor has to be patient.
You work with the humor with the teacher you're going to be working with, so you know who you're dealing with before you.
Humor is not telling jokes, especially. Humor is many things. To me, real humor, the kind that I'm talking about here, is just that smiling countenance, that dealing with somebody with grace, warmness, sensitivity, and with a smile. You don't have to tell funny stories or crack remarks. You know, that can be part of it, but good humor, I don't have it before me, but somebody has said that it comes from humus, the fertilizer. Karen? Yeah. Yes. No question. The negative side of humor? Yeah, sure, sure. Yes, you have to. Yeah, there are a lot of humor. I don't like sarcasm, for example, and any kind of, any kind of humor that hurts people. If people laugh, but they're still kind of, ooh, that's not good humor. And you've got sometimes really to know your audience to know what they're sensitive about. And that's the danger, the risk of any humor. There's no question about that. Well, our time is about out. I not only preach and speak about humor, I try to practice what I preach, and one way I do that is by sharing a little routine that grows out of my experience as a TV news anchor man, and combining that with my years of experience as a minister and coming up with a possible religious news program. Hey folks, religious broadcasting is where it's at. That's where all the fame and fortune is. And if you keep up with the news nowadays, you know there's a big gap out there, as some of our TV evangelists have gone on to. Well, you know where they've gone on to, and somebody has to fill that void, so why not Ron Burke? So here is a short sample of my proposed religious news show. Good evening, everybody at Holden Village. Time now for the latest in religious news, which you may have missed here in this isolated spot. In the national and international news today, reports are that Billy Graham is considering a merger with Church's Fried Chicken. The new operation will be called A Wing and a Prayer. And our Jerusalem correspondent, Solomon Gomorrah, reports that the reason why Israel decided to stay out of the Operation Desert Storm coalition was because the last time the Jews listened to a bush, they spent 40 years wandering in the desert. And also, the latest census reports are in, and they show that Lutherans are very dense in Minnesota. which balances out because the Baptists are very dense in Texas. We'll be back with more news after this message. Say, sinners, would you like to be baptized, but you're afraid of water? Then why not try the Lutheran Church, where we baptize by sprinkling. Our motto, a little dab will do you. Back to the news on the state and local scene, and speaking of the Lutherans, if you've been wondering about the excavation going on around the foundation of the new German Shepherd Lutheran Church, it's all because of last week's city council meeting. The council passed a law that no massage parlor should be located within 300 feet of a house of worship. The Lutherans have until the end of the month to move their church. And scientists at the University of Washington report they have succeeded in crossing a termite with a praying mantis. What they have now is a termite that says grace before it eats your house. And in sports news, if you have been seeing on television at professional football games that guy holding up the sign with John 31:6 on it, well, our researchers have looked that up and discovered that it is a quote from John's son Jimmy, which says, "How about them Cowboys?" Little Texas humor there. Attempt at humor. We'll be back with more news after this word from another sponsor. Farewell Funeral Home announces their pay now, go later plan. Or as they call it, our layaway, layaway plan. Why don't you drop by and check it out? And while you're there, ask about this week's special on a used tombstone. It's an excellent buy for a family named Lazarus. And more news on the local scene. The parish of Pennup Pentecostals continues their revival service featuring that famous Western evangelist, Tex Luther. Tonight, Tex will preach from the back of his horse, his subject, the Sermon on the Mount. First Southern Pedestrian Church's bumper sticker study group will meet tonight at 7:30. Study topic will be, if God had wanted us to use the metric system, there would have been 10 disciples. And finally, results of a survey taken by the Comparative Religion Department at St. Olaf University have just been released, and it reveals that the major difference between Baptists and Lutherans is Lutherans speak to each other when they meet in the liquor store. And that's it for tonight's religious news. This is Ron Burke leaving you with this thought. Smile and remember amusing grace. Good night.